And now, introducing your starting backcourt for your favorite podcast. Coming out of UCLA, standing in at 5'9", 255 pounds, your first starting guard, Hakeem, also known as...
Two times!
And coming out at guard, out of the University of Southern California, standing in at 5'11", 155 pounds, Mina Farag, also known as Frog. Welcome everyone to the first ever Two Guard Set podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the Eastern Conference and predicting the Eastern Conference and how they're going to shake up, how things are going to shake up with playoff seeding. So before we start breaking it down, we're going to start off by looking at what the experts think, and that it would be mainly be Mark Stein. Mark Stein releases a power rankings once a week, so he started out with the season preview rankings for the whole league, and we just took the Eastern teams from those rankings and made an Eastern list for him. So Mark Stein starts off with Miami up top. At first, then you got Indiana second, then he's got Brooklyn third, Chicago four, New York five, Atlanta six, Washington seventh, Detroit eighth. From there, he goes Cleveland nine, Toronto 10, Orlando 11, Milwaukee 12, Boston 13, Charlotte, Philly 14, 15. So let's start at top. I think we all agree that Miami is the first team in probably the entire league, and they are the champs, two-time champs. So we're going to start off with them. With Miami, let's go with how we're going to break this thing down is we're going to look at each team's projected starting lineup. We're also going to look at their bench, and we're going to talk about key acquisitions. And from there, we're going to talk about why we like the team and where we like to place them up against Mark Stein's projections. So we can't argue with Mark Stein because he has him at one. I have him at one, and Frog.
Have him at one as well.
So... let's just talk about what moves they've made and look at their team. So for the depth chart, you know, you got Mario Chalmers at one. You got Dwayne Wade at two. You got LeBron King James at three. You got four will probably be Haslam again. And then five will be Chris Bosh. But we all know that Haslam and Bosh will be all interchangeable because they go small. They really don't have any bigs. And that's why one of their main acquisitions would be first is the re-signing of Birdman.
Birdman.
And we all, I will say, first off, Birdman probably is the X factor for why they won last season. He was definitely the main reason they went on this 27-game winning streak, because before then, they were kind of hit with the injury bug. They were kind of stagnant, not really going anywhere. But then they signed Birdman, comes in, brings them the energy off the bench. He was just sitting there. He was just sitting off the waiver wires, and they picked him up, and they went on a 27-game winning streak. Came in, did great work for them in the playoffs, even though he got dunked on pretty hard by Paul George.
Destroyed.
But he was still their main thing. And, you know, I think that would be a really great signing for them.
Yeah, that's a good signing. I definitely agree with that. What I do like, though, is this Beasley-Oden combination they have. Beasley, he's probably one of the most notorious black holes in the NBA. I mean, guys, be honest here, he's depressed, he's suicidal, he really had nothing going for him. So being around champions and being in an organization like that with the best player in the NBA, along with the third and maybe fifth, seventh, whatever you want to call Chris Bosh, best player in the NBA, this is really good for them. Oden, I like, but he's played maybe 10 games his whole career. So it's really a matter of if they can last. You got to respect the champs, you know, that's why they're sitting there up top.
Well, we know that they made those two acquisitions with Beasley, and I agree with you on Beasley's a great acquisition, but you know he's been in the league for, what, 4 or 5 years now? Mm-hmm. And great talent, but he hasn't done anything with it. Why are you so high on him?
I mean, like I just said, he's now with champions. He's going to look at LeBron's right hand and see two fat rings. That's something that he wants. You know, he can get the money, he can get whatever, but you don't join this NBA to just for that. You played it for those rings.
Yeah, but if he's high as hell, those rings... he'd rather just go get another gram from down the street outside of the stadium in Miami than, you know.
Pat Riley doesn't play that, and I can guarantee you Pat Riley doesn't play that. I mean, look at Birdman. He went to jail for child pornography, I think it was, and, you know.
He got investigated. Let's be careful. Okay. He got investigated.
Okay, so.
But nothing came out of it. But, yeah, I don't know. I hope he cleaned up whatever it was, but
either way, this is a strong core of veterans and champions. You know, you have Ray Allen, who has already a ring with them and a ring with Boston. He's just a good team to be around. You know what I mean? So I definitely, if any team can do this, it's the Heat with Beasley.
Well, yeah, you're right. I'll give you that. This is his last chance in the league now, and if it doesn't happen with the Heat, it's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But if it does happen with the Heat, I think it puts him right there at the three-peat. And yeah. I think three-peating is obviously one of the most difficult things. It's gonna definitely motivate LeBron. I hope it's going to be motivating Wade, because I think Wade was a little bit he looked like he was kind of coasting last year.
Right.
Something, I don't know, it was his injuries or whatever, but if this year he knows that he's going to cement himself in the Hall of Fame if he gets his three-peat, and also, you know, talk about his bragging rights, because, you know, people are saying he shouldn't be in the top 10. You know, like KD is coming at him.
Right. Yeah, don't feel the fire of someone who doesn't need that. You know what I mean? KD's throwing digs at him, talking about James Harden this, James Harden that. You know, Dwayne Wade will put everyone in their place when the season comes around.
Yeah, so we'll see. Do you have him three-peating? Or coming very close?
I can say this. I have him going to the finals. So.
Okay. I don't think many people will agree there. So, Mark Stein, we agree with you there. Let's go on to his second team that he has on his list, which were the Indiana Pacers. We have a depth chart here of projected starting lineup with George Hill, Paul George, Lance Stevenson, David West, and Roy Hibbert. Their bench would include C.J. Watson backing up George Hill. You could have Granger possibly either playing the three or backing up Paul George at the two. They also made some interesting signings with Copeland, who was a shooter in New York. He has this like weird look on his face. He just looks like he doesn't get it, but all he does get is buckets.
It's just buckets.
He just comes in, throws up his nasty looking three, just drives in, throws nasty hook shots while he's driving, and he makes shots. And I don't know if he has good defense. I don't know if he has good any IQ really. But if his IQ was one, it would just be making buckets.
Exactly.
So
one trick pony.
That could be helpful sometimes if, you know, they just need some scoring. And Luis Scola is my favorite signing for this team with his he's pretty much like a David West, an international version of David West. He plays exactly like him, shoots that mid range. He's got the Scola scoop, as Dennis 3D Scott calls it out on NBA TV. He's a smart player, plays a lot of intense international games, and I think he'll definitely help this team. My problem with the Indiana Pacers, Mr. Stein and Frog, since you have him at two as well, is I just feel like they overachieved last year. I just feel like all these players are pretty much a bunch of middle-tier players who overachieved. I don't think George Hill is a great player. Yeah, he's a solid point guard, sure. It's Lance Stevenson. He's actually never played much until last year. He sat on the bench for Indiana for a while. David West is a good player, but nothing too special. And Roy Hibbert, I think Roy Hibbert definitely overachieved in the Miami series. The only reason he achieved well is because he's playing against Miami, who has no big man to contend against a 7'3", 7'4", player like him. So that's the only reason he overachieved, but I don't think he's a consistent overall player. Maybe this is the year he comes out. This will be definitely their chance this year in the end if they're ever going to get out of the East. But my take on it is they're just very good players that have overachieved. And that's why I have them fourth.
I can definitely see what you're saying when you say that they've overachieved, but I bet you if you ask those guys in Miami who they're afraid of in the East, they'll tell you the Indiana Pacers. This team went toe-to-toe with them for the past couple postseasons without Danny Granger. I mean, this team is stacked. Like, Paul George is a superstar now. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. Like you said, Scola, they picked up C.J. Watson, Copeland. You know, this team is really put together very well. It's strong. It's big. It's really well coached by Frank Vogel. This team is going to be ready to go.
Honestly, I just totally think they're a bunch of scrub players. I don't know why you have them high. I like Vogel. But he's just coaching a bunch of scrubs. And if this team goes far, I'm just going to rep Vogel.
I mean, how are you going to – Hibbert, all-star. Paul George, All-star. Danny Granger, all-star. George Hibbert, Hill.
Hibbert can't even put a sentence together.
It doesn't matter when he's banging
West,
on you,
West
when
he's tossing your shit. West was only a legit all-star when he was playing with CP3, and now he's playing with George Hill. George Hill is just a washed-up Tony Parker.
I mean, he's still a Tony Parker. I mean, let's be honest. He was in San Antonio for a reason. You don't play for the Spurs for no reason.
The only person I'll give you is Paul George, and that's because he grew up right here in Lancaster, California, so he knows exactly how to play tough street ball. But I don't know. I'm not high on them. I think they'll do well. They're definitely top four in the East, but I definitely like Brooklyn and the Bulls over them. And that will go right into the third ranked team for Mr. Stein, and that will be the Brooklyn Nets. He has them at three. I have them. I think they're my second team in the West. I really, really like them, and I think you have them at...
I have them at four.
Okay. So let's go with the Brooklyn Nets. We got Williams at the PG. You got Joe Johnson at the two. Paul Pierce at the three. KG at the four. Brooke Lopez at the five. Obviously, we know they're big off. They were one of the big offseason moves this past summer. You know, they just went and said, we're going to take the big Hall of Famers, Pierce and KG. And I think they also were trying to get the Doc, right?
Yeah.
NBA didn't work out too well, yeah. Beat them on that one. But what I really like is their bench mob. I think they're trying to build a sense of team camaraderie. So one of the first things they did is they rented out Yankee Stadium, and they just played a game of players versus coaches versus staff. Yeah. So, you know, they're trying to just hang out and just be a team. And I know in the preseason I saw a game where every time Teletovic had to hit a three-pointer, Deron Williams had to do three push-ups right there on the bench with everyone. And so I think that game he hit like 5 threes, so he did 15 push-ups that game, and it was just really good to see them kind of just cheering for one another, like, you know, I got your back, you got my back, I'm a starter, but I'm sitting here on the bench rooting for this guy to, you know, stay on the court and do very well. So they're building that sense of unity that is very important for going far and just being a successful team. Looking at their bench mob, you have Livingston backing up Williams, who kind of had a resurgence in Cleveland last year, so I think he's a very good backup, being 6'6". He's lanky and can run the offense. You have Jason Terry. You know, he's a champion. He could also be a threat very much offensively and with that mid-range shots. You have Alan Anderson. Not many people know him. He was a Toronto Raptor player last year. This guy is just lights out three ball. If a team is double-teaming hard, they put this guy in the game, he'll knock down that three ball, no problem. So him, Teletovic also is very good on the three ball. And you got Andre Kirilenko. I think Kirilenko is a very, very good addition. This guy does everything. He does blocks, steals, rebounds, threes, points, assists. Like, he is the all-category guy. You pick him up for fantasy, and you also pick him up if you want to win on your team. I think, you know, these players, he's a very good, useful player. You have Reggie Evans. You know, he's going to grab every board. And the guy I'm very high on is Mason Plumlee out of Duke. This guy... 6'11", he just looks like someone who just needs very, very good coaching and development. And in like a year, he will be a star. You could just see it. Like, he's very good athleticism, a lot of energy. He's got good touch, good dribbling, and it's just for at his size, it's just things you can't teach. But the things that he does need to teach is just to polish up those things, like his free throws and his jump hooks and stuff like that. That when you put that together, you're gonna have a complete package that will create a future for the Nets with Brooke Lopez and Plumlee after KG retires.
Right, now that you're done sucking the biggest scrub who's gonna 15th person on the spot on the bench, talking about Deron Williams doing push-ups when he's asked to be doing sit-ups. Look, this is the most overrated team in the entire NBA. Talking about three starters over 30 years old, Jason Kidd who gets drunk and beats his wife, and mind you, he's serving a 2-game suspension at the beginning of the season. This is just a joke of a team. You can't just throw money at an NBA team and expect this for to happen. You know what I mean? Jay Kidd last season was just playing basketball in New York against these very same guys, and now he's going to stand there with a clipboard and ask them to run plays and X's and O's. This is a complete joke of a team. Unfortunately, I have him at four just because of the amount of talent that's on that team. There's just no way I see this going any further than the first round of the playoffs.
because of the amount of talent you have them on four?
Yeah, strictly based off that.
The amount of talent, you should have them being the NBA champions.
Absolutely not.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You got three Hall of Famers. You got
35 years old.
They still produce. Pierce is still a very good producer.
There's nothing left in the tank. I'm telling you, there's one basketball with seven mouths to feed on this team. There's no way all these guys are going to be happy. And I can guarantee you that Jason Kidd is not going to be the one to put this all together. I can guarantee you that.
Look, the Jason Kidd pickup is great because he was one of those. He developed his career in the Nets. He went to back-to-back finals. Yeah, they didn't win, but he would win the Eastern Conference, and he got very far. They only lost to, you know,
how'd that work out with the Lakers when Magic Johnson came back and coached? Exactly my point. I don't want to hear about this Jason Kidd bullshit. I don't want to hear about this and that. He was a leader on the floor when he had a jersey on with a basketball. I just don't think that can translate into a good
coach.
I'll
tell you this though. He definitely has a good assistant. It's Frank Lawrence. He's doing all his work right now. As of this moment, I was watching. They had this what is that NBA show called where behind
backstage,
the scenes,
I believe. Or All Access.
Training. NBA training. Camp, right? Yeah. And they had the Nets, and Frank Lawrence did all his work. He was just standing there. But he's doing that now because, in a sense, Jason Kidd, he's got the brains, but he's having Frank Lawrence actually execute it.
The same Frank Lawrence that's been run out of three different NBA jobs. You mean the same Frank Lawrence that started off 0-18 a couple seasons ago?
Right.
Or
but now he's got a good time. Okay. Frank Lawrence, I think he was in Detroit, and he was with the
Hornets. I just wanted to make
team.
Sure that's the same guy we're talking about.
You got to – look, you know a lot of basketball's coaching, but a lot of it's players too. And right now they got the players. They got the brains. I think they will – Jason Kidd, being a professional, being a winner, I think they'll go far. I think that is their weak point. Maybe that's why they won't win it this year, which might suck for Pierce and KG because this is their – they only have like a two-year window now.
One-year window.
So we'll see. I think they'll definitely be pushing the Heat. I have them at second. So that moves on to Mark Stein has the Chicago Bulls.
Chi-town.
At four. I have them at three because I have them over I have them over Indiana because I have Indiana at four. So let's go with Chicago. Why I have this team at three and not at one is because they're just not deep. But let's discuss their projected lineup. We got starting at making his return after a year layoff is none other than Derrick Rose. At two, you have one of my favorites is Jimmy Boy Butler, as Noah would call him, and Luol Deng at the three, Boozer at the four, and wrapping it out with Noah at the five. That's your projected starting lineup. And on paper, this is a great starting five defensively, offensively. I don't think this five will hold up. I think you already got Noah's out. Noah's already out with a groin injury. And you know how those linger. So he's going to be battling that all year. And he's had plantar fasciitis. I had plantar fasciitis. And I've been having it for 3 years. It comes and goes. It's definitely very debilitating. I think it will catch up to Noah and it's going to hurt the Bulls because after Noah, they got Nazir Muhammad. He's nobody that's going to help them out, really, in terms of like going long in the playoffs. Nobody in Chicago, honestly, like Boozer's hit or miss. People like him, and then some people just hate him because he puts up just clankers where he's just 0 for 10, 5 rebounds, nothing. Then he'll put up like these amazing 20-point, 12-rebound games, and you're like, why can't you just be more consistent? But he's a year older now. He's definitely undersized, and, you know, I think they're kind of missing there. But that's where Taj Gibson is going to help them out a lot. I think this is the year Taj Gibson can step up to the plate. As long as he gets playing time, he's very good. He gets very good blocks. I know at times Thibodeau prefers Taj at the four to close out games for defensive purposes because Boozer is still lacking on the defensive end. Luol Deng is in there. He's also injury prone. I think, you know, he's definitely a great player, all-around stats guy. He'll do everything for you, all the dirty work as well. But, you know, he's definitely injury prone, and I think really Jimmy Butler and Rose is the combo. I really love what Jimmy Butler did in that heroic playoff run for the Bulls last year. He had three consecutive 48-minute games. First round, game 7 against the Nets, he had to guard Deron Williams and Joe Johnson 48 minutes straight. 48 minutes straight. He didn't sit a minute guarding those two elite scorers. Then, the first two games in that second round against the Heat, he had to guard LeBron James and Wade for 48 minutes straight. You should get some kind of medal for that after doing all that kind of work.
Absolutely. I do like the Bulls a little bit better than you. I have him at 3. Let's just be honest. Derrick Rose is a stud. MVP. The guy's coming back bigger, stronger, faster than ever. He increases vertical by 5 inches. That's really absurd when you think about that. They are unfortunately snake bitten. They're always injured. It's funny. They're always injured, and they still beat that Brooklyn Nets team that you're so high on in the first round last year. Okay, with no one there.
That Brooklyn Nets that's team. That's fine. That Brooklyn Nets team last year and this year are completely
that's
different.
That's fine. You can't even. Let's add 35-year-old veterans. That's cool. Whatever. Anyway, coming back to what we're talking about. Defensive, Thibodeau, this guy's lights out. You know, some people don't give Doc Rivers any credit for the ring they won in Boston because they give Thibodeau all the credit because of the defensive scheme he put on and just the way he was doing that. Look. Their top five players are equally as good as any other top five players in the NBA. And just adding Derrick Rose to that is just ridiculous.
The overlong return.
Yeah, I mean, the year and a half return, whatever.
Like, Adidas had a campaign last year. Like, they had 50-minute YouTube clips about Rose and the return. And
6 months too early.
Yeah, they lost. Yeah. I'm sure they lost a lot of pub with that. I don't know, man. I love Rose. I love Rose. I think he's a great player. I think he was just a little selfish, honestly. He just sat there.
Is he?
He cared about his career more than about winning it as a team. And that's why I was really more upset about guys like Nate Robinson and Bellinelli leaving. I think that's the main – it's not the main loss, but if there's a loss this offseason for the Bulls, it's because they didn't re-sign one of these guys. Both of these guys got developed by Thibodeau. Nate Robinson is one of those nomad guys in the league. He just flip flops all these teams, and just because he's very streaky, but he's not solid on foundation. And Bellinelli was a horrible defender, but now that he's left and he was going to Spurs, I would say he's a solid defender. And both these guys are gone after being developed by Thibs. I think they could have at least kept one of them because they've been through all of the turmoil and the ups and downs with the Bulls last year. So you would have two guys who really cares about the Bulls and winning, and Thibs, because he's the one who developed them. Now they're both gone for free.
What are we talking about here? We're talking about Nate Robinson. I choke on sight. Nate Robinson, that guy. And we're talking about Marco Bellinelli. I just run around in circles. These guys were not defensive players, nor will they ever be. The thing with the Chicago Bulls, it's a team defense. There's help side, there's rotations, there's all of that. You can teach that to any scrub, hence why they have Dunleavy now. Dunleavy is a scrub when it comes to defense. So exit one scrub, enter another. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know what we're even talking about here. Like, this thing is, you're thinner than my dad's hair. Like, it's just really bad when it comes to their roster. But, going forward, I can see them making noise. And this team will only go as far as Derrick Rose does. And from what I've seen so far, and adding 5 inches to your vert, welcome back, Derrick Rose.
We'll see. We'll see. Remember, his 2012-2013 jersey was an Adidas suit.
It was a nice suit.
All right, so that wraps up the top four, and I think we could all agree that those four will be fighting to get out of the Eastern Conference, which means that puts the New York Knicks out of the top four. And
Knickerbockers.
I'm sorry to New York fans. Honestly, this team has not made any significant moves this past summer, and we saw their weaknesses against Indiana. Indiana outplayed them really, really bad, and Indiana's not, they're not going to go anywhere. They've actually kind of improved. So what have the Knicks done? They signed acquisitions, Bargnani, World Peace, and Udrich.
What are we talking about here? Andrea, has he even grabbed a rebound ever in his life or maybe blocked a shot? Talk about not improving at the position. You basically have a European Amari Stoudemire with an Amari Stoudemire. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are fours that all they do is score. There's no defensive presence. They're not physically dominant. I mean, Amari maybe at one time was, but after the knee surgery, he's nothing. Andrea Bargnani is just... This is a joke of a team, to be honest with you. Melo Chucks, Iman Shumpert, what is he going to really do now that he's in the spotlight and he started? It's his job. What are we doing here with this flat top? You know what I'm talking about? And Tyson Chandler. So when this team got Tyson Chandler, what they wanted him to do is basically build a fence around the hoop and say, no, you cannot score. But guess what? That only happens when other teams help you, when your other players help you out on defense.
Yeah, yeah. You know, remember Chandler, he won the Defensive Player Award. He won the Defensive Player Award, I think. It wasn't last year?
Oh, the year before, yeah. Arizona.
And when his acceptance speech, he was like, I would like to thank my teammates for being so bad at defense that I get all these block
exactly.
shots. Who does that? Who says that? And but he said the truth. They got no defense. Yeah. And I don't think Meta World Peace is going to be the one that's going to save their defensive problems. And
5 years ago, maybe, but now that he's World Peace, let's be honest here.
I do like a rookie, which is Tim Hardaway Jr., because we all know his dad, Tim Hardaway, with the killer crossover.
Sick crossover.
And, I think his kid has it, but that's something down the line. For this year, though, Felton at the point, Shumpert at the 2, Mill at the 3, Bargnani perhaps at the 4, and Chandler at the 5, Amari off the bench. And, Amari, honestly, he's never been the same. He gets paid more than LeBron and anybody else in this league, but produces, just as much as, the minimum 12th man on any team. And it just sucks to see a player like that go, but maybe this is his last fighting chance before it's all said and done for him. Seeing that they have no improvement, to be honest, a lot of experts and people have them even less than 5. We all agreed on 5 just because I think we all know Melo is...
He can carry a team.
He can carry a team far. And I kind of like Woodson. I think he has his team a little bit structured offensively. And I just have them at 5 because of their experience, at least of having one pretty well the past year and or so. So that's where we'll keep them. Mark Stein, however, from after the 5th team, he has some really weird projections.
Kind of all over the place.
He kind of has Atlanta at 6th. He has Washington at 7th and Detroit at 8th. And we don't have that at all. So this is where we break away from Mr. Stein, because I will not have Atlanta be making the playoffs. Nowhere near it.
No, thanks.
I'm going to go with my 6th team, and that would be the Detroit Pistons. They didn't make it last year, but I think some of their signings this year and some of their player development is overdue now, that I think I could just say off talent, I'm very confident they'll make it, and I have them at 6. Frog, you have them at?
I actually have Detroit at 7th. So, I can kind of see why you're saying what you're saying, and just to kind of get into it, obviously the Josh Smith is the biggest deal they got, bringing back Chauncey Billups, doing the deal for Brandon Jennings.
But billions.
But billions.
Well, quick thing about the billions thing, if you try to text Billups on your iPhone, you'll get billions.
You'll get billions. So, Mr. Billions, he's big shot back in Detroit. I don't like Josh Smith as the 3. I just hate that. And there's Brandon Jennings, black hole. Chauncey Billups, veteran black hole. Josh Smith, the definition of black hole. While you have... Greg Monroe is probably the most solid player on this team. You have Andre Drummond trying to break backboards with his free throws. So this is kind of like all over the place. And if it works, watch out. If it doesn't work, which I think it will not, you have a really, really big mess.
You still have them in the playoffs, though.
Unfortunately, because the East is so bad that, of course, just strictly off names and talent alone, they're going to be there.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like I said, I like their talent so much. I like their backcourt. I like their front court. Their front court is, if it does work with Smith and Monroe and Drummond, I think it would be very scary, because the East is not too big that they could at least be fighting for, middle tier, definitely being in the playoffs. I think Monroe is overdue. He had a great season last year, and this year could be his real breakout season. I like Drummond a lot as the center. I saw him in the preseason. He was doing work. This guy is for as big as he is, very athletic, could jump. But yeah, his free throws suck. Not many centers are great at free throws anyway.
He can't be 20%, man.
He
can't be 20%.
He'll get to 50. And, I think this is a year maybe he's not going to be a breakout year, but solid enough to help out Smith. So it all really comes down to whether Josh Smith can play the 3. I think the 3 position is one of those where it as long as you're mobile defensively, it shouldn't hurt you. So if Josh Smith can get out there and play against through other 3s, I think they'll be fine. They can make it work, because he's a good passer, he's a good slasher, and he could sometimes shoot. Sometimes.
He thinks he can.
Yes, he thinks he can. But if he could at least guard his guy, I think they could at least give it a good shot. But that could be bad if teams go small against them and they put a three who's like 6'4", 6'5", who's fast. Then they could run into some trouble. I like Billions. I think he's a vet that could help put this all together. And then, you know, their coach, they signed a new coach with Maurice Cheeks. I think he's very good. Last thing is, well, I'm just going to give a shout-out to Peyton Siva from Louisville. I think he is what your prototypical point guard. The guy can control the game without even having to score. That's how good Peyton Siva is. And I think if Maurice Cheeks sees that, he'll get him some playing time, and it'll help this team and help Brandon Jennings at the point. That goes now. So that's my sixth, Frog seventh. Then he's got – we flip-flop now with Cleveland. I got them seventh, and he's got them sixth.
I got the Cleveland Cavs at my sixth. So Kyrie Irving is a bona fide superstar. This guy is just top 3 point guards in the NBA. Uncle Drew, you know, I get buckets type of – that's what I'm talking about. So Uncle Drew, he, you know about him. He's the man. And honestly, I'm going to go ahead and say I think he has a better season this year than he did last. And last year, everyone dubbed him like the breakout season. So moving forward, Dion Waiters, this kid's lights out. You know, he looks better shape now. He lost a bunch of weight. He looks committed. He looks committed. And the reason they made a couple good signings, Jared Jack, Earl Clark, and not to mention the first overall pick, Anthony Bennett. And here's my key, right? Andrew freaking Bynum, right? Andrew Bynum. He's half the man he was in LA. This team's gonna go far. He doesn't play a game like he did in Philly and just sits there, picks his afro out, then we have problems.
You know he hasn't even played a game yet.
He's doing 3-on-3s.
He's doing three on threes. Right. I play 3-on-3 with my sister.
No, that's fine. I see what you're saying, and it definitely calls for concern. But I mean, this team, even without him, they have Anderson Varejao coming back. This guy is a machine, you know, like 10, 15 rebounds a game. He D's up. I mean, this team's gonna go far.
I'll tell you this. I do like Anthony Bennett. I think Anthony Bennett could really take a lot of time from Thompson. I think I saw him play this one game against Orlando. He honestly looked like a fat Melo. In the fourth quarter, he was taking in the post and doing fadeaway jumpers from the baseline. Then they would double him, and he would just still be fading away over two people. Then he started to just hit threes, and then they had to call timeout because he needed a breather. Yeah. And I was just like, I was like, you know, no way right now. No way did he do that. And you know, it showed me a lot. He grabs a lot of boards. He has asthma, unfortunately, but I think, you know, maybe with a lot of more conditioning, they can mitigate that. So I'll put Cleveland in the playoffs for sure. I think they'll be right there at seventh. Bynum, I don't think will play much, but even without Bynum, I think they'll be right there. With Bynum, they could perhaps surprise a lot of people. So now, this is where it really gets tricky for all of us.
This is where it gets scummy. I think disgusting basketball.
Even to you guys out there listening, I think it'll be hard for you guys to tell me who the eighth seed is. So we're going to have a guys' little discussion about four or five teams who we'll say will be battling for the eighth seed. And those teams are, in no particular order, Toronto, Milwaukee, Washington, Atlanta, and Orlando. Those are, I say, the five teams that will be battling. My team that I will say will get into the A spot will be Toronto. I think, Frog, you have them at...
I have them actually at 11.
And Mark Stein has them at 10. So let's talk about Toronto real quickly. They have a projected starting lineup of Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Rudy Gay, Amir Johnson, and Valanciunas, with a bench of DJ Augustine, Terrence Ross, Landry Field, Steve Novak, Novocaine Novak, and Tyler Hansborough. So this is why I like them. Last year they made this move for Rudy Gay, which some people liked, some people didn't. But when they made that trade, they went on this little run and pushed, I think back then it was Milwaukee at the eighth seed, for that eighth spot. They really did push them. They had some really impressive wins on the road and at home. And at the end, they faltered off and they couldn't really push. But they were very impressive, and I felt like had they had a longer season together with Rudy Gay, that they would have been in the playoffs. So now I think this is their year. They got a training camp now. They got Rudy Gay acclimated to the players. I think they have also made some good signings with Novak for the three ball and Hansborough for good toughness with Valanciunas, because this is the year I think Valanciunas is going to break out. Maybe not like in terms of winning ball, but definitely for fantasy. This guy gets you blocks, rebounds, good field goal percentage, and he shoots free throw percentage just very well too. So I think Valanciunas is going to be a great center, and having a good center over there is definitely a key to getting into a playoffs and winning basketball. So with the talent, you know, and Kyle Lowry, you know,
chubby little Kyle Lowry.
Didn't you have him? He used to get in fantasy.
That was the pickup of the year.
He used to get triple doubles, and I think, you know, under control, they could go far. Why don't you like
him? I don't like this lineup, right? So Rudy Gage is really upset that he has the lowest jersey sales in the NBA. So he's really upset. So he took his talents.
Because
no one wants to buy his jersey. So he wants to go up north and maybe sell a couple jerseys to a couple Canadians. I just don't like this team. Hansbrough, you said he brought him in for toughness. Just the other night, they were playing the New York Knicks. He got hacked from behind by Artest. He turned around and he threw an elbow, and then as soon as he looked and saw Artest, he said, "Oh, Ron, my bad. Talk about toughness, that's a little girl talking." This is just, you know, DeMar DeRozan chucks the ball. Rudy Gay is kind of your Mr. Everything, but this you have Amir Johnson, who doesn't even know the rules of basketball. He double dribbles, travels whenever he has the ball. I'm sure we all seen that.
He was Shaqton, number one Shaqton.
He was Shaqton a fool for a while.
What do you think of Terrence Ross?
Terrence Ross is Mr. Get Buckets. I mean, he won the dunk contest. He did what he needed to do. But when you talk about like NBA championships and playoff basketball, you're going to talk to me about Terrence Ross?
No.
So we're just going to go ahead and move forward.
That's why I got him right there in the eighth seed. So who do you got at the eighth then?
Eighth, I got my boys from Milwaukee. Talk about
Milwaukee. Would you ever even visit?
I would never even step foot into the city of Milwaukee, but that's not why I'm talking about them. So they made a bunch of moves, right? So you have a starting lineup with Brandon Knight, who they got over from Detroit, and the Brandon.
Are you talking about RIP Brandon Knight, right?
RIP. God forbid. I'm sorry, DeAndre Jordan, you had to do that to him, but it's okay. Then we got OJ Mayo, we got Caron Butler, Ilyasova, and Sanders. That's a solid starting five when you look at it. And then even better is their bench. You have Mr. Luke Ridenour, who's the most consistently vanilla human being I've ever seen in my life. You picked up Delfino. They got Gary Neal. They got John Henson. They got Zaza Pachulia. This is just a team that kind of has depth, and it has scoring when you need it and defense when you need it with Larry Sanders. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you on their depth. I actually do like some of their acquisitions with O.J. Mayo. O.J. Mayo did very well when he had to carry a team for he had to carry the Mavericks.
Mavs, yeah.
When what's his name was out?
Dirk
Nowitzki was out. So he proved that he could carry a team, and I think this will be the team he has to carry. So look for him out for fantasy. I also like Gary Neal. Gary Neal, I think I've seen some games when Popovich decided to let him play because of injuries or whatever, and this guy went off.
He goes off,
man. I think this, you know, he's going to get the green light on this team, and I think they'll be fighting. The only reason I picked Toronto over them to make the eighth spot is because I saw some good stuff from Toronto last year, and they kept that kind of that team together. So that's the only
Casey we trust, huh? Casey, that's who you want to trust.
Okay. That's the only reason I have it, because I saw it in my eyes. I don't know how this they look good on paper, but I don't know how it's gonna be put together. I think Brandon Knight is still gonna need some work, obviously, and Henson I think could really be a good backup for Ilyasova. He was a rookie last year, and he showed a lot. He had some really good games. Whether they can put it together will be the reason, but I do like the pick for them fighting. So I have them at 10th, but they'll be fighting with Washington. Let's move on to the Washington Wizards. I have them at 9th, you have them at 11th, mm-hmm. And Mark Stein, for some reason, has them at 7th. So this is where we totally disagree with the expert himself.
Mm-hmm.
Depth chart, you got John Wall, Beal, Ariza, Trevor Booker, and Nene Hilario with a bench of Maynor, Harrington, and Serafin. Do I need to say any more about why this team will not make the playoffs? I think Mr. Stein really, really is holding on to John Wall's Duke days more than himself.
Kentucky.
More than John Wall himself. Because I don't think he's done that one-arm dance, and I don't think he'll be doing it anytime soon with this team.
He does not do that. If their front court can stay healthy, I'm talking about, you know, Emeka Okafor, and we're talking about Nene. These guys, when healthy, at one point, were good players. They're now made of glass. I mean, these guys are just really... Maynard's coming off an injury. Al Harrington needs to just stick to eating pudding or whatever the hell he does. So, I mean, this is just a crap team for me. Go ahead.
I got nothing to say. I say they'll be fighting just because maybe John Wall is going to prove me wrong. And I do like Beal. But, and I also like Al Harrington. Al Harrington's getting buckets, bro. He's always gotten buckets.
That's all he's 08, bro.
Anyway. That's the only reason I'm going to go with them, kind of fighting for it. But other than that, I got nothing else to say about this team. We'll see where they end up. But that takes us now to the fourth team fighting for the A-spot would be Atlanta Hawks. I have them at 12th. You have them at 9.
Yeah, barely missing
I can't believe you have them that far. And then Mr. ESPN expert Mark Stein has them at 6. Are you freaking kidding me?
You're joking.
When you got Kyle Korver starting at the 2 in any NBA or any basketball team in general, making a playoff team or winning games is beyond me. This guy's only... Yeah. The only reason he's even worth anything in basketball is if you need some threes off the waiver wire, you pick him up.
Right.
That's it. You don't ever ask him to do anything else. And to ask him to be your starting two for a winning team, no. That's why they won't be winning. That's why they'll be the 12th seed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of like the Paul Millsap move, you know, pairing him with Horford, but you want to talk about the most bite-sized front court in the NBA. Like, they're really undersized. They're really small. I mean, they have a couple pieces. You know, Jeff Teague, I kind of like him. Lou Williams is coming back off the knee injury. They have I can't believe I'm still in the NBA. Elton Brand himself. You have Gustavo Ayon.
I do like Ayon. Ayon showed me some stuff in the FIBA, South America tournament.
Anyway,
in America's tournament, Mexico won the championship.
That's why it's FIBA. They drafted this kid, Dennis Schroeder, whatever his guy's name is. I don't even know what this is about. This team is just really, really bad. They have three solid players, and after that. I'm going to go buy a jersey and start for them.
So if you have them at 9th, what would it take for them to make it into 8th? What do you see happening for them to get into 8th?
It's going to take an injury from one of the top 8 teams. it's nothing they can do. It's what they can't do to help them out. So.
How about Jeff Teague?
I mean, I like him. He's a solid point guard. But Jeff Woody, what else are we talking about? Like Jeff Teague, Paul Millsap, and Horford. Yeah, that's going to be teams. It's not a world beater. You know?
I'll just say this real quickly. One guy I will look out for on this team if they're going to do well would be James Johnson. I think this guy's traveled a lot, and I saw him back when he was young on the Bulls. Showed me some very good – he has a lot of talent. If he could step up and actually take that 3 spot and, you know, is performing, I think maybe that will help at least solidify or at least their wing deficit. All right, so with Orlando now, we got the depth chart with Nelson, Aflalo, Harkless, Tabasco, Tobias Harris, and Vucevic. The bench will be Oladipo, Big Baby Davis, Hedo Turkoglu, Quinn, and Maxill. I mean, really, I don't know. I love you, Jogvon. You're, you know, my Portola middle school alum, so I got to give you love there, but you got a lot of work to do with this team. I only like one player on this team, and that's Hedo Turkoglu. Just because I used to love the Sacramento Kings back in 2001 when they got cheated by the Lakers. But he did his steroids.
Yeah, he's a warrior, bro.
He was jacked for a minute, and I was like, how did he get so buff? He's kind of sick, like looking like this European buff Turk. And I was like, you know, he's balling, but then, you know, he was taking needles in his butt.
Yeah. He's the European Al Harrington. He just chucks some shit up and just with his huge head. Look, this team is trash. I like Aflalo. I like Nelson. And I'm telling you right now, Rookie of the Year, Victor Oladipo, this guy is going to just play heavy minutes for this team because they're so bad. You know, Tobias Harris did his thing last year at the forward position. But I'm really high on Victor Oladipo, and they have definitely a solid piece in their team going forward.
I like Victor. I'll tell you, I thought he was kind of weak for a second, but then I was watching his preseason game against the Cavs. Jerry Jack comes in, right? Jerry Jack shoots like a two-pointer in his face, makes it, and, like, you know, he starts thinking, like, Oladipo sucks, whatever. I don't know what happened. Oladipo's all of a sudden just decided to go at Jerry Jack. And he literally scored 12 points in a row on him. He hit like 3 threes, 3 buckets, free, and getting fouled. And he just made Jerry Jack, who's a vet, look like a piece of ish. Yeah. Like, you better respect me. I'm here to play.
Ball.
Exactly. So, you know what? I do like him, but I'm sorry. I don't think this team will be going far. So, we got them at 12th or 11th, depending on how Atlanta does.
Yeah.
That takes us to the only other team I really want to give any talk about is the Boston Celtics. The only reason I want to talk about them is just because of the loss, the significant loss that they've had with, you know, Danny Ainge totally wiping everything clean. he's probably going for the number one pick, in all honesty, with the Wiggins. So I think, you know, it may be a good strategy. And, you know, signing Brad Stevens, the ex-Butler coach, the guy looks like a freaking, you know, TA professor at a college.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to be coaching the Boston Celtics for the next 5 years with a five-year contract. I don't know. I like the move. I think it definitely creates a lot of hype. They also got a lot of the young talent. Maybe they mold it. They all mold together, and in a year or two, they win. But this year, I think they'll be struggling. If Jeff Green has a breakout season, which I think he will, because this is pretty much him and Rondo's team, they could be competing for the A spot or pushing teams up there. But, you know, we don't see them going far. Another thing is Rondo. We don't know Rondo's situation. We've heard so many things about him just being a bad teammate, pretty much. He's always fighting with his coach. And it's going to be hard to maybe listening to for him to listen to Brad Stevens. You know, that might create a problem, might ask for a trade. So Rondo is the main question here. If he could, you know, really be in it to win it, and with that mindset that we're going to develop for the future, he might play hard and this team might at least compete for the playoffs. But in all honesty, they should just tank, go after Wiggins. And
yeah, this seems pretty bad. I mean, Avery Bradley is a nice piece if he continues to develop the way he's been developing. But Kelly Olynyk, I don't know what that's about. You know, Sullinger, I don't know what that's about either. With Humphreys and Gerald Wallace on the squad, like, it doesn't even seem like it fits. Like, they're the old guys in the room kind of thing. So I don't know. I'm just not. This is a really like.
I do like Olynyk. He's 7 foot. He's got a little jumper. He's kind of mobile. I think if he develops, he could be actually very good for this team. So you can't really hate on him yet. I think he'll be a sleeper for fantasy at the minimum. So that puts us at 13. I think Mark Stein agrees with us at 13 as well. So that wraps up pretty much the East, with the last two teams being the Charlotte Bobcats with
Al Jefferson, Kemba Walker, I don't even know, Gerald Henderson. That's disgusting.
I don't know. I mean, they could be a surprise. I think they drafted one of the Zellers, right?
Cody Zeller. You know, he's a pretty high draft pick. This is just bottom of the barrel of what we're talking about. Yeah, Philly, unfortunately, got another center that doesn't play for them in New Orleans Noel's. Unfortunately, he's going to set out this season, get his knee right. Just trading Jrue Holiday, like, I can't even. Evan Turner is one of the biggest busts ever. I'm just sitting here looking at this team like, I'm sorry for everybody's coaching this.
Wiggins sweepstakes.
Yeah, Wiggins sweepstakes.
So that will wrap up the Eastern Conference predictions.
All right, and this is part of the segment that I like to call the top five. So today's question is, name your top five best fantasy basketball team names. Two times, I'm going to start with you. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to start with the first one. So I used to be a big Sacramento Kings fan back, as I said earlier, in 2002. And, you know, it's kind of ironic how Shaquille O'Neal is the one who's now co-owner or part owner of this team. So if I had to call a fantasy team name and give a shout-out to the Kings, I'll call them the Sacramento Kings.
Nice, I like
you
that.
You got a five.
My number five, I got Grand Theft Rondo. You know, the guy's a steel machine, and hopefully I wish him well. And he comes back so he can give me those steals.
Okay. At four, I got one of my favorite players who shares my birthday as well, actually, is Ricky Rubio. Love his passes, love his dishes and dimes. And some other dishes I love to always eat at are at Rubio Tuesdays. Put it together.
Yeah, you got Rubio Tuesdays. You kind of gave it away already, but you know, it's all good. I like where you're coming from. I'm gonna go ahead and give you my fourth one. It's I'm a big Clipper fan, so I'm gonna go with a little Wake and Blake. Go ahead. What's your third?
Wake and Blake.
Yeah, but
yeah, only in LA, man.
Huh? Only in LA.
So another one I like, having done my academic studies in the area of law, one good one that stuck out to me was Assault and Battier.
Nice, nice. I got my third one. I got it as Ibaka Flocka Flame. Ibaka Flocka Flame. Going hard in the paint.
So for two, I like this one. I made it up myself. I'm sure it's been made up before, publicized before, but I'm going to go with it. It's Kobe Beef Bryant. No bean here. We got beef.
We only eat beef over here, man. All right, my second one, I'm going to go ahead with Pippen A. Easy. Pippen's Scottie
Pippen. Why are you talking about Pippen?
He's only one of the best 50 players to ever play the game. Let's just be honest here.
I mean, this isn't like a Legends fantasy league.
Yeah, it's fine. He's way old. Last I heard of Pippen, he was punching waiters at a restaurant in Malibu. You know, the guy's a G. It is what it is.
And bankrupt.
And bankrupt, probably.
I feel like all those Bulls are bankrupt except for Jordan. Anyway, my first one is chicken curry. The reason I like chicken curry is because of Stephen Curry, of course.
Lights out shooter.
I picked him up in his rookie year in a big fantasy league of ours, and I actually traded for him, ended up winning the league, and went by that name, Chicken Curry. So that'll be my number one.
Nice. And my number one is, I kind of like the show, kind of like the player, so I'm going to go ahead, and it's called The Big Dang Theory. Big Dang Theory. He's Mr. Do-It-All.
I like that one. Black hole.
He is kind of a black hole, but you know he does what he needs to do.
All right, so that's our number one, and that concludes our top five section of this segment. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I hope we entertained you guys. I hope we also gave you some very good enlightening analysis of basketball. I think we're going to concentrate on just giving you up-to-date analysis and at the same time just trying to be light and humor and, you know, help you guys on your road home or going, you know, listening to something at night.
If you have any suggestions or comments or questions you want us to ask or any of that nature, you can get at me at Twitter @thatguy_frog, @thatguy_frog. We also have our own Twitter for our podcast. It's @2GuardSet. That's the number 2GuardSet.
Let us know your fantasy names or which ones were better.
Yeah, let's just vote on it. Hope to hear from you guys soon. Thank you.